Mooncat sounds awesome, but it's just a space cat in a shop with Beryl Reed.
But even that's got something. But when you've got something which sounds so cosmic as Cerberus, and that is then reduced immediately to two middle-aged men talking in rooms about a TV show which is not even actually on anymore, I could understand the listener feeling rather flat about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cerberus. My name is Christian Corley, but you probably know that because you're one of the few who are here. And with me is James McLean, who you probably also know as well. Maybe we should just have some kind of like generic sort of like unified name that everyone knows. Oh, just Cerberus. Oh, that'd be weird. We'd be calling each other Cerberus then. Anyway, flights of fancy. We're here to talk about Doctor Who-related things, as we generally are. And
do you remember when did you ever find when you were a kid and you would watch a show? I don't know, this has just sparked something in my head where it was called something which sounded exciting. It's probably things like educational TV, and then it would be just two people in a room, so it'd sound kind of space age or exciting, and it would reveal it was like two people sitting on a couch, you know, like, I suppose Blue Peter's a good example of this. You know, you've got this lovely idea of a boat on the waves and this jolly music, and then it would cut to three people in a stripped-back studio. And it just kind of was a bit of a disconnect for a child who's got this notion, this label of, this is going to be this, you know, I don't know.
No,
off into outer space, and it would just be two people sitting like this.
Yes. No, you know? there was plenty of, like, afternoons, schools programming for small people, I think, and there was one when you and me morphed into one of its different guises, and it was like some sort of like cat, I think, or a cat or something, and a person talking. Or am I getting that confused with Mooncat? Anyway, but again, just Mooncat sounds awesome, but it's just a space cat in a shop with Beryl Reed.
But even that's got something. But when you've got something which sounds so cosmic as Cerberus, the constellation of, and that is then reduced immediately to two middle-aged men talking in rooms about a TV show which is not even actually on anymore. Well, it will be again, but you know what I mean.
Mm.
I could understand the reader or listener feeling rather flat about that.
Or the viewer. Well, I mean, there are viewers who take the time to watch us chatting. Hello. And, it entertains someone, at least, the viewer. We have a listener and we have a viewer. And
it distracts. These days I find it's just about distraction. I was talking to Magnus about this. You know, we don't sort of say, have you enjoyed something? It's just like, are you suitably distracted from the horrible things that the world is? And micro, macro, meso, whatever. Are you suitably distracted? And I think that's what podcasts are largely. It's about a distraction from having to deal with the proper things, your budget, your finances, the doom scrolling. That's what we're here for.
That's two episodes.
Our cosmic intervention.
I watched two episodes of One Foot in the Grave last night. Now, the reason we chose One Foot in the Grave rather than continuing through The Crown was because Kerry was a little bit wound up about a few things that happened within her workspace. And so we went for One Foot in the Grave, and this is nothing directly to do with Doctor Who, but it's incredible and this happens with Doctor Who, when it happens with a lot of shows, there are certain episodes of shows where such a lot happens in one single episode that it's kind of, you think it's happened in several episodes. So in the case of this One Foot in the Grave episode, this is a One Foot in the Grave episode in which Victor accidentally wanders into a rehearsal of a play that Margaret's in, and these terrible accidents are happening, but he thinks it's part of the play. So he sat there laughing and munching on M&Ms. It is the same episode that also features former comedy actor Jimmy Jewell as a blind man who is murdered, and also is the episode that introduces Patrick and Pippa. All of those things happen in a single episode of One Foot in the Grave. And it's the same episode where Victor is doing a ventriloquist act and Pippa takes the ventriloquist doll to the toilet. So these things all happen in a single 30-minute episode of One Foot in the Grave. If you'd have asked me which episode those things happen in, I would never have imagined they all happen in the same episode. I would have said two or three episodes. But it's all happening in one episode. And this happens with a lot of things. Certain episodes stand out more, as we know, than others. So, you know, in Doctor Who, for every blink, there's a... I'm trying to think of one now.
A Lazarus experiment?
I like the Lazarus experiment, but yeah.
Sorry, listeners, viewers, I apparently triggered my partner into some sort of pseudo-nostalgic contemporary observation.
Which is why we're here.
Yes, absolutely. But no, yeah, I agree. Anyway, that's what we are. We're apparently Cerberus.
Yeah.
We are part of its body, Cerberus 1, Cerberus 2.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got a few things we want to talk about in coming weeks. I think maybe we've settled upon something. Just before we get into what we're going to talk about today, something that's popped up. Now, I've mentioned Jonathan Helm's Substack before. I recommend you check it out. I'll put the link in the show notes. I can't remember exactly what it is, but there's a great interview with one of the special effects designers, people who worked on Time Lash and on Terror of the Velvoids. And I recommend you check this out. As I say, the link will be in the show notes because it's quite an interesting little discussion. And it shed some light onto some of the design choices of creatures in those episodes, shall we say, without giving too much away. And that might be useful information, background for something that we're going to talk about in future. Today, we're going to step back in time a few weeks to the Daleks Master Plan. Before we do that, thank you everyone who's enjoyed the commentary on Silver Nemesis. I think Silver Nemesis is probably quite underrated, and so I enjoyed watching it again, and it's something that watching it out of context, I think, you know, if you sat down having a big Doctor Who marathon, and if it happens to appear in your list of Doctor Who, so like two or three days. Or two or three months after Remembrance of the Daleks, it maybe upsets it. But if you're watching it completely out of that context, I think it stands up a lot better. So I enjoyed watching that with you, James. And just something else I should mention, on the Cerberus Patreon, we've got an interview with Ian McNeice that Brian Turnover conducted. And it's a really good chat. He talks about playing Churchill, he talks about Doc Martin, talks about his... life in the theatre and how he kind of did some TV and felt it went badly and so like went to the theatre again for years and years and years before really before Doc Martin. So I would recommend if you don't already subscribe to us at our Patreon, check that. You can have a look at that with a free trial, and there's different interviews dropping every week until sort of early June. I think we've got an interview every week on there. This is 11th Doctor era stuff happening at the moment, and then in May we've got some 8th Doctor related interviews coming. So back to the Daleks Master Plan. We had a great chat about the Daleks Master Plan, and I shared the results of this on Facebook, and our friend Gareth Cavana commented to I'll tell you what he said. The podcast went out with the title "The Daleks Master Plan is this Doctor Who's most disappointing discovery?" And Gareth says, "I'm not without sympathy to this viewpoint. It may be rudely stylish stuff directed with a plume, but it's in essence an extended interplanetary chase with a big doll per Flash Gordon and a better version of the chase in the middle, with added monk sparkles. I suspect the finale is in all probability spectacular, but the rest is all about keeping the momentum going week to week until we get there. Nation writes a decent 7-parter, which works if you have the finale tacked onto a condensed version of 1-6. Glad it's back, but it poses more questions than it answers." Great comments from Gareth there, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's really nice. I mean, in fairness, we were largely talking about what we had, and as you said in the title, as a discovery rather than a commentary on the Dalek Master Plan as a whole thing.
Yeah.
Though I suppose we did go a little broader and bigger and sort of go, what does this sort of say about the era? So there's like a mixture of things there.
Yeah. So this generated, thanks to Gareth, and in a great way, because I mean, lots of people are coming in and chatting about what we're chatting about. There are lots of people commenting about this. There's some that I want to pick out, because there's the obvious counterpoint to this. A gentleman called Ryan Thompson says, the recovery of Doctor Who episodes is never disappointing. This is history that is recovered. History of the most iconic sci-fi show next to the original Star Trek series. Not to mention it's a Dalek story and its first bunch of Doctor Who episodes in 13 years. Last time we had recovered episodes, Matt Smith was a Doctor. Just the context of that last line. That's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So many Doctors ago was the last time we had recovered Doctor Who episodes.
I remember being in Malta at the time when they were dropping. So, yeah, it was a long time ago. And I think, I mean, it's a great point as well. And I think I think the one thing that I'm a little conscious about is that inadvertently, because it was never intended, is it ends up being like, I feel like it sounds like we're being clickbaity.
Yes.
And it feels like to some degree it has been clickbaity in the sense it has stoked a reaction.
It has, yes.
But that was never the intention. I must admit, when we talk about it, I never even thought about like how others might be positioned on this, especially as he says, quite rightly so. If we're looking at it in terms of historic value, then this is absolutely a massive find for a show which is for something which is so old now.
Yes.
To find these, it's an incredible piece of find. So, yeah. Yeah.
We were talking about the actual story, weren't we?
Well, this is it. We could caveat everything. And if people are listening to this who have read the Facebook, then yeah, okay, let's caveat it with some tick boxes. Yeah, it was a great find. Yes, I think it's better we had it than we don't. I think the thing is, and I think this is where the distinction comes, is that some of the best stuff to talk about, some of the best material to speak of in television film history, invariably is not the best stuff. I find it far more fascinating to talk about with Gareth, as we have done, the mishmash mess, wondrous mess of Flash Gordon, than it would be The Godfather. Sometimes things cannot be as great, and that can still make them great to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really what it was, is that I won't pretend it didn't do much for me as to watch it. And we could be that we're slightly not indulged by the fact that we have so much Doctor Who, that we've seen so many iterations, that those early iterations, it's hard for them to sort of sparkle in some ways because it's got so much competition against what we already have. But I can't pretend, if we're going to come on here and talk, and I can confirm it to anyone who does listen to this who was irritated, certainly no interest in clickbaiting this stuff. I've got no interest in stirring people up with what we say. But I just kind of think what we've always tried to do is be honest. And
yes, we have tried to be honest. And something that's probably, I probably need to hold my hands up because there is an element of I've chosen a particular quote for the cold open, and that's probably not helped things in this regard, but that's just a part of modern podcast.
But then that is
assembly.
Otherwise, there's a danger. I mean, there's a tension, isn't there? You don't want to clickbait, but you do also want to pick out, as you would in an article or a book,
exactly
something which anchors and makes you go, okay, this might be something I want to listen to and digest if it's done properly. And I kind of hope that's what we were trying to do. It's not to annoy, but just to throw an angle which was genuine for people to talk about.
This is one of those things where, you're having a conversation with someone on the internet in text form and it's taken out of context and offences, hackles are raised, etc. There's someone here, the wonderfully named Morph Mumford. I don't know if this is a member of the Mumford and Sons family or what. I don't know. I suppose...
Or Morph, yes. One or the other.
I suppose there's a problem with context. Season 3 was transitional and also need for change, which did not come mainly season 4. On their own merit, they're a good episode and difficult to judge how good the story is without 8 other episodes, Mission to the Unknown is part of it. So that's pretty much exactly what we're saying.
Yeah. And it's exactly what Gareth was saying.
Yes.
That, you know, we can't talk about... I think in a weird way, for the Daleks' master plan, some of the chase-like episodes are the ones I'd kind of like to see, because I think the problem with these episodes... The problem is Terry Nation, and Terry Nation is folding back onto things he's done before and will do again.
Mm.
So there feels a little bit of a sense of repeat. You don't have Mission to the Unknown, I think, is a different beast. And I think that's something which can be respected a lot for doing, as a production, what they had to do.
Yep.
But here we're on old ground. I kind of would like to see some of the stuff, you know... the police station, I'd like to see, you know, Feast of Stephen, that sort of weird, wacky stuff, which is really outside, that I would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I suspect it's going to be, if we ever do see it, not half as good as we'd want, and it will feel awkward and tired. Not tired, that's the wrong word. Just not quite as we would like it to be.
Yeah.
But that would be interesting. But I think, yeah, the two episodes that we've got are very much in Nation's pocket. And I think that comes across. And I think that's probably what I was reacting to. I was just feeling like the exploration around the jungle, one character not being well. The Doctor by this point is kind of a caricature, really, of what William Hartnell... I mean, his first season was brilliant. By this point, I know people like him like this. I find him, just as I say, a little Yoda-ish. And... it doesn't build into the program as much as I'd like. But yeah, we're just seeing a lot of repeated stuff. So I think as a missing episode to get, it's great that we've got it. But I think in all honesty, there are other episodes I would probably be more keen to see, just because they would break, they'd give me something fresh.
Yeah. This one might be slightly surprising. This is from the actual Ian Lee, Channel 4's what was that program called? 11 o'clock show, something like that? Broadcaster, that chap, who amusingly states, "My issue is this is only black and white, whereas the colour version, I don't have a black and white TV and I can't watch it." Which I can see what he's trying to do there. But again, I think maybe contextually that's kind of wrong. There's a couple of other things that are sort of, again, there's an element to this of people who have not listened to the podcast because it went out as a promo and they chose not to take the opportunity to listen to it for free. These things come up. This isn't the first time that we've had comments about podcasts that haven't gone as we thought they might. But... I sympathize with your position on this. I enjoyed watching it, but it's one of the rare things that we've probably disagreed on something related to classic Doctor Who. I think you're right about Katarina, and I think there's a missed opportunity with her, but, you know, they just didn't, you know... Mm-hmm. It's just something that didn't happen.
They wouldn't even do it these days.
No, they wouldn't.
It's not even like a time thing.
And there's later segments from the serial that exist in clips and what have you. And Hartnell does give a good performance with the face off with the Daleks and Mavic Chen. And there's a nice bit of Dalek lore in there about, you know, the strength of the Daleks, etc. But it's a 12-part adventure that I've wanted to experience for a very long time, and, you know, still, we don't get to experience it properly. It's nice to have the two extra episodes, but yes, it does retread stuff, and there is a formula to Terry Nation Doctor Who, isn't there? Very, very, very clearly a formula to Terry Nation Doctor Who.
I think the other problem with these sort of missing episode releases, and again, this is no one's fault, is that, as you say, if you... You almost, in a way, have to watch them for what they are rather than watch them for the their full context, which is unfair to them because they're meant to be full of something bigger.
Yep.
But we don't have it.
Mm.
So if suddenly the whole of the Daleks Master Plan was rediscovered and that was able to watch the whole, that might have, a, from me personally, a different slant.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've got two episodes which I've got to watch out of context of the rest, even though, as we've said before, I mean, I've listened to the audio adaption of it. I know of the show. I've seen the other episodes. It's hard to really sort of judge them in that more exciting epic context. And I think as an epic adventure, yeah, I suspect if I saw the whole thing, there would be a lot of chasisms to it just by the very nature of the author and what it's trying to do and the limitations it's got to do it. If we were to see the whole thing, then maybe, yes, we'd be sort of saying, and as we were saying just before we recorded, an argument against the point I was kind of making that by this point, Doctor Who was feeling a little like the show was not in a rut, but it was doing the same thing because it had the same sort of components. It had a few companion changes, but beyond that, it was trapped within the limitations of its central actor, and his performance kind of guided the show's style to some degree.
Yes.
You see the style of Troughton to Hartnell, it's very different. Even that first season, it's still quite different. So it feels like if we hadn't had Troughton and Hartnell was well enough and there wasn't the sort of political pressures inside and he'd stayed on, what would that next season feel like? Would it have stayed on? Would it have got another series? Would that have been the last series? Is this a trail end of an era is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But that's not to say there's not things in this trail end which are still... But, you know, kicking, you know, giving a few swift kicks. We said Katrina's death, Sarah Kingdom's death. They're not, because Sarah's not, I've always been hard pushed to say, you know, is she a companion or not? But the point is, in the space of the story, I think she kind of is, or we're to assume she is.
Yeah.
We're not assuming that she's going to get killed off. We feel that she's again, we weren't there at the time, but I'm assuming you got the sense that she was the replacement for Katrina, and that she would be carrying on. So there's a few good things it's doing. So I think you're right. And the political setup is quite bold, building on this intergalaxy turbulence. But yeah, just taken on their own, I just feel like I couldn't get excited as I wanted to. And that's just life. That's just sucks.
Yeah.
No one's fault.
I think we maybe touched on this when we discussed it properly. But with the Daleks Master Plan, you've got Stephen, you've got Katarina. Well, it's time to do something different with the companions. But Stephen and, I mean, Katarina is basically she's the next in the line, short-lived as she may have been, next in the next in line of the Susans, isn't she? She's from the line of the Susans. Mm-hmm. And previously we had Vicky for her, who's, like Stephen, a kind of a pale copy of the person that they replace. So
they're kind of what you're sort of saying, so we're clear because we don't want to obviously spark anything off again. You're not saying that Purvis or... O'Brien are weak imitations.
No, not at all.
Or even to some degree, even in the characters, because Stephen does have its own character, own sense, but he's locked into sort of a strand which he's replacing Ian's dynamic within that space, and Vicky's replacing Susan's dynamic.
Yes, but there's another element to this, isn't there? Because this works on different levels. So William Russell was an absolutely fantastic actor. And, you know, he was already well into his career by the time Doctor Who came along. And he was cast for a very specific reason. Peter Purvis, the same. But Peter Purvis hadn't been working for as long. Peter Purvis wasn't as experienced as an actor. And I'm pretty sure he said before that, you know, the elements to what he was doing, which was, you know, he didn't really know what he was doing and much about the character. Whereas with William Russell, you've got a very grounded character in Ian Chesterton, whereas Pete Purvis is playing a spaceman, essentially.
Yeah, that's the hard thing for him.
Yeah, exactly. That's very difficult. So you have these... So as the show progresses, the core dynamic of the show, obviously people leave, changes. And so you end up with this scenario, I think, whereby you've then got characters, I don't say recycled, but you've got characters be, you know, the ciphers. And then you've got the storylines, which, you know, there's obvious similarities between the Chase and the original Dalek story. And then you've got the similarities between Dalek's Master Plan and the Chase. So you've also got this kind of thing. So it's reusing its own ideas. And it's even at that early stage of Doctor Who.
Yeah. And I think that, again, comes back to that whole question of if we hadn't had what was an unusual baller move to sort of change your lead actor and keep the show running, what would the landscape of this show have looked like to an alternative reality where that didn't happen?
Yeah.
How would this be perceived in a show which I imagine would have been largely forgotten, not massively, but might have been potentially largely forgotten apart from those enthusiastic archivists? What would this season have looked like to them, knowing that this was the end of a show
that comes from another circle around on that as well. What if all the pieces still existed? What would the, you know, we would have a completely different opinion of the Dalek's Master Plan.
Absolutely. So if we hadn't had any lost ones, you're saying, and we had the whole thing, would it, a bit like when Tomb of the Cybermen, we've said this before, was, you know, before it came back, I remember reading in the in Doctor Who Monthly, you know, how dark and claustrophobic and scary it was. And of course, I watched it as a teenager, and it was none of those things. It was a good story.
Yeah.
It still blew me away.
Were you watching it on an old CRT, on a tiny CRT with a screen like that big?
Well, this is it, absolutely.
In a darkened room.
And I wasn't nine.
Yeah, exactly,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, I totally, but this is my point, is that when you, the myth and the legacy builds up, doesn't it? And
yes.
Perhaps over expectations occur. And I remember the teenager being disappointed because of all the things he'd read and the fact he was now too old, really, to get that same vibe and too far down the line of television that there'd been scarier stuff since. But then this is kind of the nice thing about these debates. If it brings people up and it brings people out to sort of stand against or stand for or to rethink. And I love this idea of, like, well, how would we view this? I think we've said this before in a different way. Like, we were saying it the other week, I think, actually. I don't think we did it. We talked about it. If there was a missing episode of the new series, what would be the one that people would want to see that? And I was saying Gridlock would be one because it's so full of stuff. If it was missing, it's such a fast-paced thing. It's not like a set in a single... It's not like... Midnight, where it's set in one air, in one space. It's so many little bits to it. I could imagine that being one that people would be desperate to see because there's so much happening, and it'd be an early Tennant. And so, as you're saying, it's fascinating to think if you just had all those seasons of Hartnell complete, how would we judge all these things? What would be the disappointments?
You know, people be completely different.
People want to see the myth makers, but would it have the same stature as the Space Museum, which we've got? It's kind of interesting in its own way, but no one ever talks about it. You know, you have that great little bit with Hartnell in a Dalek, and you know, imagine if we didn't have that, people would be talking about that all the time.
Yeah,
scarcity is a fascinating thing, and how it makes us reassess.
Well, it has scarcity has a very important role in our society. But I mean, it underpins our society because scarcity affects our economy.
Yeah.
And scarcity makes things more interesting by default. Yeah. So
more valuable.
Yeah, more valuable. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So these things have different levels of value.
Which again is the fascinating thing about missing episodes in this context, because it's an artificial scarcity of these episodes existed, but the person had them because they were, they're valuable. And it's a fascinating thing, scarcity, but carry on.
Yes, I think I was hitting the point there, really, with just scarcity. the whole thing is an interesting thing that has many different layers, and it goes beyond a TV show that could have ended after 3 or 4 years and is incredibly still going today. So, and I think that's the most important thing to take away from this, is that, you know, it's just a part of that kind of patchwork of this crazy television show that goes through time and space and comes to Earth all the time.
And maybe there is an argument that was being made in those comments, which is absolutely valid. Maybe I am being unkind. Maybe we are so saturated with material now that such a landmark historic thing as actually reclaiming some lost bits of Doctor Who almost feels lost in everything else which is going on. And maybe that's a sad state of where we are. And there's a bit of a reaction to that, that if this happened, as we said, like even 12, 13 years ago, but certainly pre-internet, this were like Tomb of the Cybermen.
Yes.
But that might be a bigger thing. But then I still think Tomb of the Cybermen's big thing was it was complete.
Yeah.
It became a complete thing rather than what we've got now, where we're still wondering, what are the other ones like? Are they more interesting? Yeah. The Traitor and the last one with Katerina is one I'd like to see. That's the Adric episode of the 60s. And we all love Adric episodes.
Oh, don't we just? Look.
Imagine if Adric's air death was the missing episode. How that would swing his legacy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, if I... Well, yes. So, a couple of things to say. First of all, like and subscribe to us on Apple and Spotify and the other place where you get podcasts, because that means that they take notice that people are tending to us. And if you could leave a review, 5-star reviews will get read out right here on the podcast. If you're watching this on Patreon, thank you very much for taking the time to support us.
I hate you guys so much. 5 stars. Please stop.
Yeah. Five stars. Yeah, excellent. No, I'll read those out. If you're subscribing to us on Patreon, thank you very much for your ongoing support. That helps a lot. And just to paraphrase what James was just saying there about Doctor Who and the context with the modern world and the importance of Discovery and stuff, turn off the news. Just get on with your lives. Ignore the news. We'll be back soon. Until then, it's goodbye from us.